Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. If you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the agenda for August 6, 2019. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
We do, Mr. Chairman. We would like to remove number 15 and number 16 from the agenda. There's more. We would like to continue number 17. This is the CFA contract, and that would be continued to the August 20, 2019 board meeting. And we would like to continue number 19 to a date to be determined, unspecific. I can repeat that if you want.
Okay. Did you guys get a list? Okay. With that, I'll ask you, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? All righty. If I can get a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll move to approve the agenda as amended this morning by County Manager Austin.
I'll second.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now, we move on to item number four, this discussion of possible action. This is approval of the minutes for June the 18th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the minutes for June 18th, 2019.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now at this item number six. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonaro.
Just a quick reminder, tonight is National Night Out. We'll be doing the ninth annual presentation in Lockwood at the Louise Berry Park. Hope to see everybody there. Starts at 5 o'clock.
Okay. Isn't it also in the Miners Park tonight too, sir?
Yeah, they've got something going on at Miners Park here in town, and I'll have a couple of deputies there, but it's not part of our National Night Out program.
It's not, okay.
It's similar. I think they're doing a block party along those same lines, yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Sheriff. All right. I see we have our Director of IT here today, Mr. Dean.
Nothing, James, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, James. Come over with that. Public Works Operations, Mr. North End.
Morning, Commissioners. Mike North End, Operations Projects Coordinator. Some updates on a couple of things. We had some water damage at the Visitor Center, VCTC Visitor Center, during that downpour a couple of Thursdays ago. We've submitted that to the insurance company. They've accepted that, so we've already had Belfour on site. They've erected a plastic containment there. As of yesterday, we had ETC, the environmental testing company, was there. It looks like we may have identified possible lead paint and maybe mold on the backside of the wallpaper, so we're going to find out about that here shortly. And then following that, we'll get a complete scope of work, at least on the demo side, from Belfour, and we'll be able to submit that to SHPO and see what we need to do to get that repaired. Item number two, we did open up fuel delivery bids. There will be a bid opening coming up on August 14th at 2 o'clock p.m., either in here or at the commissioner's office downstairs. So we'll anticipate getting those bids in. We'll be able to consider those and enter into a contract for another year. On the fairgrounds improvements, I recently completed an estimate for the water line extension through there. In putting together the electrical quotes, it looks like we'll be able to actually share the utility trench, so that'll dramatically reduce the amount of trenching and excavation we're going to have to do up there. So I'm trying to coordinate those two things together, modify both estimates so that we can start get a final number on that. Following all of that, we'll put together an estimate for construction of restroom facilities there, and I'll be able to brief you guys on that as we get closer to that. Six Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Project. We have a meeting actually tomorrow at, I think, 10 o'clock on site with the landowner and his representative to clarify some aspects of the project, mainly relating to preservation of a driveway that accesses that property. So we'll hopefully get that sorted out, get that easement sorted out, and then we can proceed with that work, which will bring that entire channel up to a 25-year level event. And that was all I have for you guys today. Thank you.
Any questions for Mike? That's great. Thank you, Mike. All right. Let's move along over here to the community relations. Hearing none.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. I'd like to have everyone save the date of October 25th. That's the Observe Nevada Day holiday at 12 p.m. We'll be unveiling the new Miner in the Park at Miner's Park here in Virginia City. So this will be a fun event for the community to see that sculpture that's been designed especially for our park here in Virginia City. So again, October 25th at 12 o'clock. More details to come. As part of the National Night Out event here in Virginia City this evening, we have partnered with the Quad County Public Health Preparedness Program to do a water pod. That stands for point of distribution. So that allows us to give out water and test our practices to be able to distribute during an emergency. So we're fortunate to have the folks from Carson City Health and Human Services, Quad County Public Health Preparedness, and also some community volunteers assisting us with that. So if you're at that event, please come and see us. We'll be right at the main entrance to the park. We have our annual Quad County Hazmat training exercise scheduled for October 5th in the Industrial Park. We'll be working this year with AUECC. They've taken over the old Alcoa building there on Waltham Way. So we're very excited to be working with them. They've been super helpful in wanting to work with us as well. So more information to come on that. In addition, we have an opening for a new position in Lockwood, site manager for our community and senior center. So that position is open. It's out there. We're accepting applications until August 12th. So if you know of anyone who may be interested in that position, please encourage them to apply. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Sherry? No? Thank you, Sherry. All right. Over to the community development. Yeah. County Fire Marshal Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Martin Azevedo for the record, County Fire Marshal. A couple new things. We have some new projects almost ready to come online, Rise Renewables being one of them. Possibly next month they'll be coming online and getting their CFO. The Delta Saloon, they are going to try to get the bar area open by the end of August. Just the bar area, and they're going to isolate the rest of the kitchen area. The kitchen area and the whole entire Delta hopefully will be open and functioning, accepting customers January 1st. We're hoping. We have a new admin too at our office, Dawn Carlson, which is doing permitting. She started about 2 weeks ago, and she's doing fantastic. So if you see her, welcome her to the county. And just like to throw out to Ashley Mead, she has been filling in and training Don when it comes to permits and business licenses. She's been doing a fantastic job. And that's all I have.
Great. Any questions for Martin? Thank you. The director of the community chest and the library, Eric Sean.
Good morning. For the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest, Historic County Library. Two updates. One, just to keep you in front of the Early Childhood Education Center preschool. Assuming you all support the special use permit, we are then also awaiting, later on the agenda, so item number 20. We then are just waiting for our fencing to be installed. That's the last item that we need to be compliant to pass our state inspection for state licensure. We're hoping that will all happen within the month of August. If so, then we should be able to open that facility sometime in September. I think the last time I was up here, I was hopeful it would be in August, but things get delayed, and so now we're hoping it'll be September. So that's where we're at with that, in case you guys receive questions when that'll open. And then secondly, you can believe it, so it seems hard for me to believe because it was just a short while ago that we turned 25. In the next year, we'll be turning 30 years old as an organization. And the board has some surprises in mind to celebrate that year and to have a conversation with the community. But one of those was to create the frame of how much we've changed from just five years ago. And so over the course of the next year, I will be inviting managers of different programs that we have to come up and give you sort of an orientation to those so you have a better idea of all the different programs we do. But I'll just tease you with a couple of things, at least one, to illustrate how much we've grown. Our daily attendance at our youth programs 5 years ago was about a little over 20, maybe around 22. We are now at 52. So to frame that another way, it took us 25 years to get from 0 to 22. In 5 years, we've gone from 22 to 52. And we have story after story after story like that that illustrates how much more service we're providing. And I look forward to having more of a conversation with you and with the public about that as well. That's all I have. Any questions?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Is there County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin? Jeff? Director of Story County Senior Center, Stacey York.
Stacey York for the record. So National Night Out, as we've heard twice already, is tonight. So it'll be at Miners Park, 5 to 8 o'clock. It's also National Root Beer Float Day, so we'll have root beer floats with it. And then out in Lockwood, same time. And then mark your calendars for October 4th. We're doing our annual lasagna cook-off. And we also did our calendar fundraiser this year. So this year we'll be having Women of the Comstock, and hopefully in September we'll have a calendar premiere party. So more details later on. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Stacey. Director of Public Works, Jason Wierzbeski.
Morning, Jason Wierzbeki from the record. That handout I just handed to you guys is phase one of a new drainage project that we are kicking off. We'll be installing roughly 1,600 feet of 18-inch culvert pipe and ditches in Mark Twain, around 200 feet of 36-inch culvert at crossings and some new crossings down in Mark Twain as well. The areas that are impacted, it's kind of hard to see in yellow on there, is the west side of Sutro Springs from Sam Clemens south to the county line, Lyon County line. The west side of Lafond from Territory to the Lyon County line. North and south sides of Martin Lane between Sam Clemens and Sutro Springs. And then replacing the culvert across Sam Clemens by the park next to Bob Lloyd's house with a 36-inch pipe. and replacing the culvert at Territory and LaFond also with another 36-inch pipe. We're going to be also cutting up Huckleberry at Sutro Springs and putting in about 80 feet of pipe underneath the road because there wasn't a ditch there to convey or pipe. Same way goes with Wagon Wheel and LaFond. That cuts down towards the Lyon County line. We're hoping to start that within the next couple weeks. All the pipes have been ordered, and we're hauling road base right now and getting equipment down there and getting it all ready because this will allow us to have actual drainage channels, you know, heading where it needs to go, pushing on over to Lyon County side. And then on another note, we budgeted for and purchased a 2020 John Deere 5090E utility tractor with full cab. It has an attachment on it that's a 16-foot three-point hitch articulated boom mower so we can mow and maintain ditches and the road shoulders, plus reducing the roadside fuels all throughout the county. That'll be utilized between the Highlands, Mark Twain, Tri, Lockwood, VC, 6 Mile, etc. It also has a full-float 7-foot hydraulic box scraper with rippers for grade and finish work, plus a loader bucket, so it'll be utilized year-round. And that's about all I have for today. Oh, we're having a flood workshop down in Mark Twain on the 14th at 5:30 p.m.
Very good.
You guys are interested. Or have any questions?
No, I just wanted to say that I'm personally excited to see that tractor in action. I know there's a lot of places we can use it, so good purchase.
Cool. Any other questions?
Thanks, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
All right. General Manager of the P&T Railway, Elaine Dahl-Spitzer.
Good morning, Elaine Barkdahl-Spencer, General Manager of V&T Railway. The last time I was here, Jay asked me for some numbers, and I promised I'd come back with those numbers. To date, we are 11 weeks into our season, and we have reached 5,159 passengers that we've brought just to Virginia City. That does not include our wine trains, which we do in the canyon, Carson River Canyon. We have had quite a few charter trains this year. And in comparison, last year total, we did just a little over 7,000, and we're only halfway into our season, and we're looking at 5,159 passengers. I do believe we are going to meet last year's figures. We have 10 more weeks remaining. Our Fridays, very soon, August 16th, will be the 150th anniversary train for the celebration of the sesquicentennial of the Virginia and Truckee Railroad. And those passengers, we're starting to heavily promote our Fridays, so we'll definitely see increased numbers of visitors to Virginia City via that train. And then lastly, the 18th. The 18th is getting closer and closer. In fact, when I leave here today, I'm going to go over to Tom's yard and see the train. It's getting its cosmetics, and the specialists have been here. So when that's out, that's going to be a big news story, and we are sure to be packing in those three carloads every day or every weekend into Virginia City. So overall, numbers are looking pretty good.
Terrific. Right. Any questions for Nick?
That's an exciting report, isn't it?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're doing a terrific job down there. Thank you. All right, over to the VCTC, Denny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Denny Dotson, Tourism Director. I think it's safe to say that with all the parking opportunities that we had over the weekend that Hot August Nights has officially moved up to one of our top events for the year. Pretty well attended. I think the other thing that we saw was the opportunity that merchants have. Some of that may fall back on communication on our part, but these folks like to get up early. We had over 150 cars there at 6 a.m. Do the math, we had 400 cars pre-registered probably by 10 a.m. They were, you know, the majority of them were there, times two people, plus a few other folks coming to check it out early. But unfortunately, our merchants really didn't adjust some of the hours. Some did, but the majority did not. And I think that's an opportunity that we need to work on and do a better job communicating that. We're seeing a consistent thing year over year, so hopefully we can alleviate that so that more people can capitalize. With that, we still continue the hot August nights with a poker run this Thursday. There'll be some selected parking on the west side of C Street for them. About 700 cars will come through about a four-hour stretch on Thursday in the middle of the day. And then the next big event will be our Fiesta del Charro and the rodeo. Difference this year will be a much bigger cattle drive, or stampede, if you will, that will start at high noon. We'll run a more like a full parade with the Longhorns leading the way. And then that road will stay closed between Taylor and Flowery for a street party that the firehouse is doing after the rodeo. So look for a pretty big weekend, I think. We're seeing a lot of buzz on that event, much more than we ever have in the past. So, again, another event that's starting to grow pretty well. And then finally, I just want to touch base on with what Jason said about the equipment. I can't be more grateful from our department, especially as we're managing the fairgrounds, to have that equipment to be able to do some of the stuff they're doing. And his crew has been amazing. We've been able to put up some wire cable fencing to protect some stuff. We put in some gates. We've leveled off the property, worked on some drainage. We're putting up some signs for access information to call a visitor center. But with that, it's really shaping up beautifully down there. And I encourage anybody that would like to see the new county facility to give us a call, and I'd be happy to show them. The shop down there will be a tremendous asset to store special event traffic equipment, the cemetery gin wagon when we're not using it, which is at Grand Sierra right now this week, by the way. And then, again, all of our special event supplies will be down there. Again, it's a very big asset for us. And then there's just one other thing I forgot to mention on the special events was majority of our merchants and our locals have never really had an opportunity to go see the camel races. We started selling at the visitor center $10 tickets for locals to get in on a hot camel night show, which is a 5 p.m. show, first time we've ever had an evening show for the camel races. So we started selling those. You have to go to the visitor center to get them, just $10 to get in. That's all I got.
Okay. Anything for Denny? Thanks, Denny. All right, today we have a representative from Lockwood LLC, Ed Edwards. Anything today? Good morning.
We are asking the county to write off part of the taxes on number 15, which has been condemned. It is a health and safety hazard. It's full of mold. It has to be demolished. And that we are asking just to get a little break from the taxes. And that's all I have to say.
Can I ask you a question? Have you talked to the assessor regarding this item?
Yes, I have. Okay. I've talked to everyone.
All right, so we'll see what process we go through for that.
Okay, thank you, Edna. Edna and I did talk, and our whole team, including the assessor, we're looking at this, and there has been some adjustments being looked at right now, and we'll be getting right back with you on that.
All right, thanks, Edna.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Edna. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you.
Okay. Everything water and sewer. Mike Devin? How about everything water and wastewater? Sounds so much more politically correct.
Yeah, I believe you hit it right off there. For the record, Mike Nevin, give you a little bit of an update on both projects, the Hillside Tank and the Gold Hill Sewer. hillside tanks, calling it out, you know, water phase two. We did complete the site visit with Jason Wurzbecki and the engineering staff from Far West on determining the position, location, and elevation of the new water tanks and attempting to keep both of the existing tanks in service while this project is being constructed. We may have to dismantle the smaller tank in order to make it work up there. We're kind of up against the hillside, and the terrain in that area is extremely rocky, but we're confident when we put all our heads together that we'll be able to make it happen without incident. Thus, the project design is in process, and we expect that the 60% submittal will be submitted to us for review later this month. On the Gold Hill Sewer, to start with, we did receive Comstock Historic District approval of the building design and the site layout down there. Both Kelly and John Dufresne, along with their brother Rob wasn't able to attend, but were at that meeting and made a couple of suggestions with some minor altercations to the building, which will house the equipment for the small treatment package plant. One being the possibility of adding some windows along the Upper East Side, similar to the design of the restroom facility up here on the north end of town. That would allow for some daylight lighting and also the installation of some passive ventilation louvers along that side of the building. So they were all in favor of that, as well as making certain that the overhead door and the exterior lighting fixtures fit in with the period of the Comstock. Because as you're coming up the canyon, this is going to be one of the first things. It's going to be visual. So, and we'll bring those to you guys to look at as well when we, you know, get that finished up. But so those little minor modifications, alterations, can be approved at the historic district staff level, which is a good thing, so we won't have to go back to the full board. But the full board did make the approval for that. So we did hold a design kickoff meeting with Far West County staff, representatives of both funding agencies, that being USDA and the State Revolving Fund folks. We approved the project approach and the timeline. Sherry has finalized the application for the State Revolving Fund, met with Jason Cooper, and that has been updated and submitted. As part of the kickoff meeting, the funding entities have agreed to allow us to go ahead and begin the process of selecting a vendor. It's called vendor procurement for the equipment. And that assists us greatly and speeds up the process a bit as far as final design of the building, an actual layout on the parcel down there. So we expect those documents to be completed sometime early to mid-September, and then the review process will be fairly simple on that. We'll review them as well as the funding entities. So the next thing on Gold Hill is I had made a determination that I thought we needed a site survey to actually lay out and figure out which parcels the county did in fact own down there. There are two of them. Not to go into a long dissertation about, you know, how and when, but the county acquired that and then ended up, it was going to be a trade initially, and it ended up in the hands of the district court. And the Dufresnes were awarded some $350,000 for the parcel down there back in 2008, 2009. And at any rate, when Lorraine Dufresne and her husband Robert were divorced, she had control of that end of the property, and she agreed to trade it to the county. In doing so, there are two buildings down there. If you've been down there, you've seen them. A smaller hay barn, or smaller shed and a hay barn that are next to them. Well, they're actually, we figured out on the county parcel, the western county parcel down there, it was Lorraine's intent to keep those. In fact, she was in the process of doing a quick claim process for that portion of the property, and unfortunately, it was never completed properly. The other thing we've discovered down there, between the two parcels, there was actually an additional road that was platted back when the Gold Hill town site was officially approved, and it shows on the map from 1875, and if you look at it closely down there, if you were to stop and take a look-see, you would notice that there was an upper road, which is now State Route 342, and the lower road, you can kind of see remnants of where that road went through there. So the assessor's office and the planning division, Kathy, got together and determined the best process to get all this handled at once while we're doing things there and clean it up and bring it into compliance was to abandon the roadway with the portion on the Dufresne parcel going to them, the portion on between the two county parcels going back to the county, doing a boundary line adjustment, moving the portion where the sheds are and giving that to the Dufresnes. And then the other thing we discovered, the actual egress into their property crosses county land. So it was determined that we should issue them an irrevocable easement so they have access in and out of that property. All three of the Dufresne siblings are in agreement to this, and so the boundary line adjustment map is being completed. Should be done, we hope, maybe Kathy, maybe next week. And so once Kathy has that and gets the signatures required, we can get that map recorded officially, and then we can move forward with the other things that need to happen, and then finally, hopefully, end up at the Planning Commission meeting of March 19th for the determination of the zone change and special use permit required. We won't need a variance because we're going to combine the roadway and the two parcels into one huge parcel. So that'll clean that area up down there. Once and for all, we hope. Other thing that we did, I assisted Far West with the completion of a brief historical write-up of some of the information that we had relative to the on-site disposal system, the problems that exist, why we need to do what we're doing. So that report will be included as part of the packet for the Planning Commission in public when we go to that meeting. And basically, that's the update in a nutshell. Any questions?
The big nutshell, Mike.
Yeah. Any questions for Mike?
No.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
What's the Planning Department, Kathy Canfield?
I'm nothing today.
From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I just want to say briefly that next Tuesday we're going to have a settlement conference in front of Senior Judge Dave Gamble regarding the International Investments lawsuit, which is basically a lawsuit to quiet title to the Old Bridge Ranch brothel building and the land on which it sits. The county's involved in it because we have a tax lien that's addressed in that. We're hoping to get that cleared up.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. County Manager, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Start off is Marilee Miller from Lockwood. She just wanted to send her happiness about the sign for the Perry Ranch Park down there. She and her community really like that. As Jason had said, there's a Mark Twain workshop on August 14 at 5:30 at the Community Center in Mark Twain to have the last final review of the Mark Twain Flood Mitigation Study. Number three is, just so you know, I'm going to start keeping track with our team on public records requests. The IT department brought to my attention that there was 40 hours put into one of the most recent. And I think it's important at this point then to really start looking at all public records requests, the amount of hours being put in them, the amount of time, and the persons that are involved in them, and start kind of preparing perhaps a quarterly report for this board and for the public to show what expenditures are going into these requests, and that will help us then plan for how we address public records like other counties are dealing with across the street, whether it's staffing needs or other types of needs. I've talked with some folks in my office about they making some website amendments that will put more records onto the website and mitigate some of this, and that's an example of one thing that might benefit. Number four is tomorrow, August 7 at 8 o'clock, there is going to be coffee with the county manager and the tourism director. It is a very informal, non-PowerPoint, non-presentation based, just discuss with us what concerns the C Street and business community has in Virginia City, and it's all about listening and taking notes and collaborating. It's not really about trying to push forward any kind of message or anything like that. So we encourage folks, especially our businesses, to come and have something to say and then discuss that with us. I was reminded by Clerk Stevens, I appreciate this, for Edna, number 15 was addressed in the consent agenda here. We will get right back with you so you can take a look at those amended numbers. So thank you. And then last, I want to bring to your attention that with my departure from Human Resources and Administrative Officer, I've posted the position internally and externally. We have interviewed a number of applicants, both internally and externally, and had brought forth Jen Chapman, our county recorder, has accepted a position as our county administrative officer. I think she brings to our team the structure, the education and knowledge and background that she's provided in her current office that will really make our office to that next level of not only professionalism, but data-based decision-making, strategic planning, and those sorts of things. I'm very excited about working with Jen. Some of the experience that she has is a master's in information management. She's already working on her SHRM professional certification for HR, budgets, Tyler and DevNet, public tech transparency, policy, alternatives, lobbying, and leadership. And most of this was with the Story County team already. She is not leaving her office to the bright lights of Reno or anything like that. She has expressed her interest in serving this county and its citizens in a different capacity, and we appreciate her offer for this position. And that is all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Any questions for Austin? No? Thank you, Austin. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens? Nothing today? If I pass over any directors or staff, if I care to cover everybody? I guess so. Okay, so that'll conclude the staff reports. We'll move on now to item number seven. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. We'll start with the far end of the table with Commissioner Sarmani.
I have nothing to say today.
Thank you. Okay. Vice Chairman Gilman.
I join Commissioner Carmona. I have nothing. report.
Okay. I'm going to make it short myself. This was submitted to me. As a lot of you know, I sometimes like to go ahead and make mention of old Comstockers who have passed on. And so here's one today. This was Lamar Baxla. He was also known as Bax. He passed away on July the 3rd at the age of 75. Bax lived here for more than 20 years and worked in the past at the Ponderosa Mine Tour as a guide. He also tended bar at the Ponderosa Saloon. He was a tough little guy who beat cancer twice, but his health deteriorated in the recent years. He was a local character, and was he a character, who loved our visitors, and many returned that affection by coming back year after year to have a beer with him and enjoy his company. Anyway, rest in peace, Bax. Going to move on now to item number 8. We're running a little bit behind schedule. This public hearing is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. We'll take no action. But this is a public hearing to consider objections to a proposed lease of a portion of the county-owned building located at 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness, Incorporated. So this building closed escrow yesterday. It's now become the property of Story County. And this is where we plan on moving the Justice Court, IT, and Communications. On one half of the building, the other half will continue as a fitness center. So right now, we'll open it up for anybody who would like to go ahead and object to this lease agreement. All right.
Public comment.
Any public comment regarding this item? Going once. Going twice. Okay, in the essence of time, we have another agency in attendance tonight, and so we want to move them up to go ahead because they have a busy schedule this afternoon. So we're going to move number 11 up right now. This is the acceptance of the annual work program as presented by the Nevada Department of Transportation, also known as NDOT, and validation of the top two concerns based on previous discussions. So in a sense, we have Lee Bonner, and I'm going to have Lee introduce the new director. Lee, would you like to introduce the new director?
Yes, I will. I'd like to introduce our new director. We have a new administration, new governor, and our new director is Christina Swallow.
All right, well, we were hoping to have the PowerPoint up. It's not up, so I believe you guys have a copy. Each of you has a copy.
We do.
At your seat. So while Lee works on trying
it's
to figure out
enough. It's gone.
It's powering up?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So with me here today, I did just want to mention we have a few staff with me here today. I have Lee Bonner right here. Murph, I don't know if I got to get your last name, and Tara Smaltz from District 2 are here with me today. And our next slide talks a little bit about the organization. As Lee mentioned, I am new to NDOT. I started my service just over 6 months ago in early February. And we've had some changes. You can see on the screen we have some vacancies that we're working really hard to fill. One of the first vacancies when I started was Bill Hoffman. You probably worked with him. And he had reached retirement service and decided to set forth on a new path. And we wish him the best on that. And I'm sure we will be seeing him in that role soon. But in the meantime, Cole Mortensen, who you've probably also worked with, has been appointed to backfill Bill's position. He is a great champion of the rural counties, lives up here in the north, and has been a huge help as we've gone through this transition. I have one more vacancy that we're at the deputy director level that we're working on filling here shortly, and a few others. But ultimately, we're trying to make sure that we can get up to full staff as soon as possible so we can meet all the needs of our state. The next thing that I wanted to do is, this year, as we've been going out to the rural counties, we have been recognizing a transportation champion, someone who has worked alongside with us, possibly challenged us to do more. And in today's meeting, Commissioner McBride, we would like to recognize you with this super awesome coin. And thank you for your service to your county and our state's transportation network. How about we do the picture at the end? We'll do the picture at the end, and I'll present it to you then. It's pretty cool. You guys have to check it out. All right. Thank you. All right, so as we've been going through the county consultation process and our county visits, one of the things we've been focusing on is talking about, well, how much do we contribute? Because we all contribute to the system. And so each of us as drivers, we contribute roughly 19 cents, or 18.3 cents of state gas tax, 18.4 cents of federal gas tax. Here in the county, in Story County, you have exercised 4 cents per gallon. There is the option to raise that to 9 cents per gallon if you want, so 4 cents per gallon. So here it's just shy of $400. If you have a 20-mile-per-gallon car and you go 20,000 miles per year, it's roughly $400 per year into the system. For Story County, that translates into approximately $600, a little over $600,000 on an annual basis is what the county is contributing to this system. Contrast that to the annual, the five-year annual average of $6.5 million is being spent within the county. Recognizing a significant amount of that has been USA Parkway, but as we work forward, we try to balance. You can see there's ups and downs. I venture to guess we're going to go down a little bit because USA Parkway is done. Ups and downs over the years. Two key things that we need to do today and why we are here is reaffirm your top two priorities as a county. You can see on the list the two that are at the top. They're slightly yellowy. Those are the two that you told us last year were your two top priorities. The ones below that are also items that you've listed as priorities and concerns that you'd like us to consider if we have work going on in the area. And, of course, any of these are if we have work going on in the area, if we have a way to fund them, we will fund them. But we focus on those top two. If they've been addressed by local forces or in the process of being addressed by local forces, we can pull them off. If there's others that have come up due to just changes, we can add them on. But ultimately, what we want to make sure that we reaffirm is what your top two priorities are. And I'll assume we'll visit that at the end once we've gone through the rest of the program or the presentation. Our 2020 work program highlights are to, so this year we will be looking at doing the Cape Seal on State Route 439, USA Parkway. As you know, with any roadway, as soon as we get it done, we have to start looking at how do we maintain that roadway to ensure its longevity. So first up is going to be coming up and doing the Cape Seal on State Route 439. That's going to be roughly an investment of $1.2 million to get that done in the next year. And those are the two motion items. So I accept the 2020 work program, which is the Cape Seal, and prioritize your 2020 priorities, the top two. Okay.
If you haven't yet been to Lockwood, once you do exit going on to Interstate 80 going west, the acceleration lane is extremely short, and if you don't have a car with a good accelerator, you will get run over by the 18-wheelers that are coming down the highway. So that's why we have it on there. We know that it's a big project for MDOT because it's right on the side of a mountain there. But so I think that's going to have to stay as our number one priority for the county because it's Ms. Cudworth, is she still? She's left already, but she's a Lockwood resident. And that's what we hear about any time we go out into that district and talk to those folks. It just doesn't give them enough time. It's just not enough linear feet to get those cars going to get onto the highway there, onto the freeway.
I haven't been there yet, but I actually heard about it. We had a conversation a couple months ago about some of the county concerns specifically along I-80, so that one was brought up, and I need to get myself over there and drive it myself. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's not the only concern on the interstate, but that is one for our community that sits down there.
If I might also, Marshall, as a sidebar nuance, we're down there, we're primarily a retirement community. And for those of us that have reached retirement age, some of our necks don't spin around quite as much as you younger folks. So with a short amount of time to merge and a hard time getting your head around to look at what's coming, it's a double-edged challenge. But we see that as the traffic's now increased as being a serious accident area. So we appreciate your focus.
And your second? Right now it says Stormwater, State Route 341 Stormwater Management.
That's always an issue. I don't know how far we've addressed that, Lee.
So So it sounds like that's still your number two priority.
I think so.
All right. Do you want to take a motion to just reaffirm that?
Sure, we can do that. But to go on with that, you know, we appreciate it when you send your senior team up. Your team has been up here in the past, and we've gone through this. You know, what it, and we do a roundtable on it. Everybody puts up what their ideas are, and then go ahead and whittle it down. What are the most important priorities, you know, as we have like 1 through 10, things like that. And also I'd like to point out that the transportation crew that's up here at this district, what a great working relationship that our own Public Works has with your guys up there. And if you've ever been up here in the winter when we get good snowfall, these guys are out on 24 hours a day, and they're working lockstep with our guys to keep the main street clear and that. So we always, whoever is going to appear before us from NDOT, we'd like to let you know what a great job your crew does up here in Story County, and what a good working relationship we have with those guys.
I appreciate you sharing that, because truly it is a team effort, right? No one agency can do it on their own, and so it's great to hear that our crew is partnering well with your team.
Yes. Okay. So you want that with this? We're going to open up for public comment before we take a vote on this. So at this time, Mr. Thompson.
Commissioner McBride, commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Director Swallow, Chris Thompson, Talrain Industrial Center Project Manager. On behalf of TRI, we'd like to publicly support your item number one on that priority list, which is the Lockwood Interchange. And I'd just like to emphasize a little bit of what was said by Commissioner Gilman. The families down in Lockwood, there's a good number of families in need, elderly that may not have cars that are in the best condition, or cars with a great amount of acceleration. And so when they get on those on-ramps, it does make it difficult each and every time for those folks, because the big rigs are coming down the road, you know, 24/7 out of TRI heading westbound. And so I think the safety nature of this raises the urgency of getting this done. And just secondly, I'd like to reiterate what Commissioner McBride said. NDOT has been fantastic on the USA Parkway project all along, including this past year. Working with your people has been a pleasure. They're professional, they're responsible, they're accessible. And so on behalf of TRI and TRI's owners, thank you for all your support to this county and the TRI.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Additional public comment.
Okay. I just want to reaffirm what was said earlier with your team, including yourself. We had a matter to address with some folks out at TRI, and you as the director took your time to meet with our team and look at some issues facing the area, and you didn't have to do that. We really appreciate that. And then your folks at District 2 with Mike and OJ and Lee, just been wonderful. We had another issue out there dealing with a particular company and had the entire team together, and were able to put together all the resolutions to make the whole thing work with no issues whatsoever. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate that relationship and the folks that you have down on the ground. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. All right. Anyone else? With that, if I could go ahead and get a motion to accept this annual work program.
I'll move to accept the annual work program with NDOT and validation of the top two concerns based upon our previous discussion.
Very good. A motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Can we do a quick picture?
Sure.
Almost.
Is that your bag in front of me? Somebody else is working?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, now we're going to back up and we're going to move on to item number 9, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action on approval or denial of a proposed lease of a portion of the building owned by Story County located at 800 South C Street in Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness Incorporated for a monthly rental of $1,500 per month at a term of up to 2 years, subject to early termination by the leasee upon 30 days' notice to the lessor and commencing on the effective date and ending 2 years from the effective date. The portion of the building commonly referred to as the Divide Building is approximately 5,590 square feet and is currently occupied by Divide Fitness Incorporated. Should the county yet not own the Divide Building through delays or close of escrow, the Board of County Commissioners may consider approval conditioned upon the close of escrow and the transfer of ownership to the county. This is the last paragraph. Doesn't mean anything now, as I mentioned earlier, that the county had closed escrow on this property yesterday. So, Mr. Osborne?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For most of, if you need any assistance along the way, I'll be happy to provide that as you wish. In general, this is part of the purchase agreement from July 2nd of this year, and the purchase agreement includes this lease. The rest of it is essentially, you got a 2-year lease in this, a 30-day notice, like a typical out, $1,500 a month, and Divide Fitness does pay the taxes on this portion of the property. Anything else I'm happy to discuss, but that's really in a nutshell what we have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin regarding this item?
I don't.
Okay, here now we'll open up for public comment. Hearing no public comment, if I can get a motion to approve this lease agreement.
I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve a lease of a portion of the building owned by Story County located at 800 South C Street in Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness, Inc., for a monthly rental of $1,500 per month at a term of up to 2 years, subject to earlier termination by lessee upon 30 days of notice to lessor, and commencing on the effective date and ending 2 years from the effective date. The portion of the building commonly referred to as the Divide Building is approximately 5,590 square feet and is currently occupied by Divide Fitness, Incorporated.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve this lease agreement with Divide Fitness. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 10. This is a discussion and possible action. Approve the contract with Dew Bay Architectural Group for architecture. Mr. Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is what it pretty much is. At the last meeting on 7/23, this board had approved the scope of work and the cost associated with the contract for tenant improvements at the Divide property for the Justice Court. This is for the Dew Bay Group to do that. Essentially, what you're approving here is the engaging contract language for that. The $92,950 number is exactly the same as what was approved prior. The fee agreement and all the rest of the material is the same. The attachments are the same. The engaging contract is kind of the whereas-is and the indemnifications and other contractual terms. Essentially, this is already approved already. There is a couple minor changes that what is to be approved would reflect, and the public does have a copy, is to change. Mr. Loomis had made a couple adjustments in there, I should mention, from contract made to 808. Let me think about that for a second. Never mind. Sorry about that. Changing the license number on page 3, that was changed. That's the only thing that was changed on that. And that's it.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin? We're going to open up for public comment. Okay. No comment for the debate. Okay. We'll go ahead and get a motion to approve.
Well, based on the recommendation by staff, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve a contract with Dubie Architectural Group for architecture, HVAC, electrical, structural, and civil design services relating to the proposed tenant improvement work at 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, for the provisions of county facilities to include Justice Court. This motion does not amend or affect the fee schedule for the said services approved by the board on 7/2 of 2019.
Okay, good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 12, discussion of possible action, proclamation supporting the 2020 United States Census. Ms. Nevin.
Sherry Nevin for the record. Today you have before you a proclamation supporting the 2020 United States Census. We also have in the audience Kim Burgess. She's our partnership specialist. And she just informed me that we're the first county here in the north to do this proclamation. So I don't know if you want me to just read the staff summary or read the entire proclamation. What's your pleasure on that? I can kind of read you the staff summary. It talks a little bit about what we're going to do. And
we'll have you read them both.
Okay. Of course. So an accurate census count is vital to community and residents' well-being, helping planners to determine where to locate vital programs and services. More than $675 billion per year in federal and state funding is allocated to states and communities based on census data. Census data ensures fair congressional, state, and local representation. We are asking that you support the goals and ideals of the 2020 census and encourage individuals in Story County to participate and support census takers as they help our community complete an accurate count and encourage and support a complete count committee for Story County. The Complete Count Committee is a group of folks from Story County representing various sectors of the community who act as census ambassadors and play an integral role in the 2020 census. This committee exists to plan and implement local outreach campaigns and raise awareness of the census and drive participation. At this time, the following folks have agreed to participate in the Complete Count Committee for Story County, which will not be very time-consuming. We're going to plan probably a few events in different sectors of the community just to let people know that the census is coming and what they can expect. So we have myself from Story County, Stacy York from Story County, Kathy Canfield from the county, Kim Haynes representing the school district, Adrian Baugh representing Mark Twain, Grace Pizzuto representing the Virginia City Highlands, Louise Pinna representing Lockwood, and Michael M. Nazarino representing Community Chest, which encompasses most areas in the county. So those folks have agreed to help us kind of get some of these efforts out there, whether it be participating in a parade. Last time when we did this, we provided a float for the census to be in the Nevada Day Parade as a statewide kind of effort, so we may look at doing something like that again. They'll be at National Night Out. They have their folks in the community encouraging people to sign up for jobs and things like that, so we'll just kind of help them be the boots on the ground getting their message out. So if you're ready, I'll go ahead and read the proclamation here.
Go right ahead.
So, a proclamation supporting the United States 2020 Census in Story County, Nevada. Whereas an accurate census count is vital to our community and residents' well-being by helping planners determine where to locate vital programs and services. And whereas more than $675 billion per year in federal and state funding is allocated to states and communities based on census data. And whereas census data ensures fair congressional representation by determining how many seats each state will have in the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as redistricting of state legislatures, county commissions, and voting districts. And whereas the 2020 census creates jobs that stimulate growth and increase employment opportunities in our state and region. And whereas the information collected by the census is protected by law and remains confidential for 72 years. And whereas we support the goals and ideals of the 2020 census and encourage individuals in our community to participate. And whereas we support census takers as they help our community complete an accurate count. And whereas we encourage and support a complete count committee for Story County. And now, therefore, we, you, Story County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim this County of Story as a 2020 United States Census Bureau partner. And you sign it today on August 6, 2019.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. Commissioners, have any questions for Sherry? Is there any public comment regarding the census? It's certainly important that the numbers are accurately counted for the distribution of federal funds. And also recently, there's something else that has come up with the payment of lieu of taxes, which has always been based on how many acres of federal land is in the county. They're looking at possibly revising it to population-based, too. So having an accurate count of how many citizens that we have in the county could actually increase the amount of payment we receive from the federal government for the PILT funding as well. So we don't know if it's going to go forward or not, but they're it looks like the federal government is looking at that right now.
Cool. And so we're going to be seeing folks throughout the communities, and we'll make sure that we alert you. They're going to be doing some canvassing for addressing. So just kind of, you know, boots on the ground, taking a look and seeing where things are at. So that'll be here shortly in the next.
You want to come up? You can come up to the podium. It's easier if we can get you on the audio. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record, buddy.
Good morning, Kim Burgess, for the record, with the U.S. Census Bureau. So just an update on that, and I haven't shared this yet because we just heard about it at the end of the week, but our address canvassing has been referenced, has started over the weekend. And so they are doing it a little bit differently where, and this is also an update, too, that we found out, that people will be going door-to-door to verify addresses. It used to be you would drive around in the car, but now they're doing that. Headquarters will be issuing out notifications to local law enforcement agencies as far as that people will be out within the community. And then we will hopefully be given some information as well. There's a video and I believe a fact sheet that will be shared with us later this week that I will be sure to share as well as far as the process goes on that. But I appreciate the support and thank you so much. And as Sherry said, you all are the first ones to issue a proclamation for up here in the north. So I'm still the only one. But
well, Kim, thank you for appearing again today.
Thank you.
So once again, also, is there any public comment? Hearing that, we get a motion to approve this proclamation.
I'll move to approve the proclamation supporting the 2020 United States Census in Story County, Nevada.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you, Kim. Next up on our agenda today is item 13, discussion of possible action. Possible approval of resolution number 19-549 requesting the assistance of the State of Nevada Attorney General in the prosecution of a criminal matter. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This involves a case in which a law enforcement officer is the victim of the crime. That law enforcement officer has a suit pending against the county, which makes it difficult to have communication between the district attorney's office and the victim of the crime to pursue the prosecution of the case, and also because of the ethical requirements that exist on prosecutors. We are asking that the board approve the resolution that's before you today. The Attorney General's office has already agreed to take the case if it's approved.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Commissioners, have any questions? Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, I go ahead and get a motion to approve this resolution.
I'll move to approve resolution number 19-549.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 14, discussion of possible action. Approve resolution number 19-550, adopting the findings of the Director of the State of Nevada Department of Business and Industry pertaining to the issuance of industrial development revenue bonds and one or more issues in the aggregate amount not to exceed $50 million for the purpose of assisting in the financing or refinancing of a portion of all the costs, constructing, improving, and equipping the facility to be used for converting municipal solid waste into renewable fuel products located on an approximate 19.4-acre site located at 3600 Peru Drive in the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, Story County, Nevada. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman McBride. Thank you, and members of the County Commission and Manager Osborne. Wanted to first introduce our new director, Michael Brown, who joined us right after the first year. Mr. Brown is the former head of Barrick USA. retired, and we're happy to have him on board. So to have someone with his background in the state and leadership has been a tremendous asset to the Department of Business and Industry. So I wanted to introduce him to you today.
Great. It's good. It's good to be here. I was involved with siting the Western 102 power plant in Story County and with the community chest building project a few years back. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome aboard, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
This is our fifth request from Fulcrum Bioenergy. We have Jeannie Benedetti, who's in the audience, too. If there's any technical questions, I'll defer to her. But they're requesting up to $50 million worth of state's allocation of private activity volume cap to be able to enhance their facility at TRI. We are very pleased with what they have done to date. This project will provide the funding for a biorefinery and also connection to a solar facility that will make them really 100% on renewable energy. So it's a tremendous project. The biorefinery will be able to process the material, the slurry that they have that they produce out of garbage to be able to produce a jet fuel. And that will be able to, once that facility is in, take it directly to for airplane use. So that will be one of the first types of facilities in the state of Nevada and one of the first types of facilities really in the United States right now. So we're very pleased you're putting us on the map in terms of this type of facility. So the resolution before you is the findings of fact from the director for the Department of Business and Industry regarding this project. We're happy to answer any questions as to the resolution and the findings of fact, but technical questions I'm going to defer to Ms. Benedetti. Sure. So thank you.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions?
No, at this time. I have a comment. I think it's incredible to be here at this time in history when we're actually seeing the opportunity to redirect trash streams from landfills and having the ability to create jet fuels. And there wasn't very many years ago that I think most of us said that isn't even practically possible. And here we are at that threshold, and we're proud and honored that we have a Fulcrum Bio here in Story County. And we understand you're at the leading edge and threshold of this technology, and the globe will benefit greatly from the direction you folks are taking us. And thank you for being here, and thank you for what you're doing.
Commissioner Gilman, thank you for your comments. Just to emphasize that, they'll be taking out 175 million tons of waste every year. So that's incredible.
Yeah. It's incredible.
That's great. We'll open up for public comment.
Commissioner McBride, Commissioners, County Manager Osborne, I'd like to echo Mr. Gilman's sentiments on Fulcrum. Very encouraged by the technology they're developing and the impact that they'll have on both landfills and furthering the technology that they're developing, and it's great to see them here in Story County. I have a question about their request specifically, and that is basically, does it impact, since they're asking to take, from what I understand, $50 million of our borrowing or our ability to generate bonds, will that have any impact on Story County's ability to raise funds should they need to in the future?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, and I welcome you to come up, too, if you would like, and discuss this matter. In this case, what you're doing will not adversely affect the county, and this is not related to the bond cap as the next item was. Do you want to elaborate on that at all? Thank you.
Very quickly, the IRS allocates an authorization for bonding for the state. It's based on population. So this year we received approximately $318 million of authorization for tax-exempt bonds. 50% of that goes to to local government, 50% goes to the director's office for projects. Whatever is not used goes to back. Generally, we reserve that for housing. So it does not affect any kind of bonding capacity for local government, for the county or city entities, or even the state. It is simply an authorization to issue tax-exempt bonds for projects. The payment of those is not held against the citizens of Nevada. It's solely to the company that is proposing the bond project. They are solely liable, and their investors are solely liable for that project. So there's no liability for the citizens of the state of Nevada.
And that was actually the next part of my question. Should the company suffer the unfortunate event of going bankrupt, none of the taxpayers of Nevada or Story County would be on the hook for repayment of those bonds?
That is correct.
Excellent. Well, I'd like, again, to commend Fulfrum. I've done some research on their technology. It's fascinating stuff. And I would just like to point out on the record that this is how companies whose business model is capable of standing on its own 2 feet without taxpayer encumbrance runs themselves, unlike some of the actors that we have out at the industrial park. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Hearing none, if I go ahead and get a motion to approve resolution number 19-550.
Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Lance Gilman, approve resolution number 19-550, adopting the findings by the Director of the State of Nevada Department of Business and Industry pertaining to the issuance of industrial development revenue bonds in one or more issues in an aggregate amount not to exceed $50 million for the purpose of assisting in the financing or refinancing of a portion of the cost of I, constructing, improving, and equipping a facility to be used for converting municipal solid waste into renewable fuel products located on an approximately 19.4-acre site located at 3600 Peru Drive in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Story County, Nevada, and or to the improvements to and equipping of a facility used for preliminarily sorting and processing of municipal solid waste located on approximately 10 acres site located at 350 Saddle Court in Mustang, Story County, Nevada. Approval of the county is required pursuant to NRS 349.580 paren 2.
All right. I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second.
We'll move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along to item number 15, which we have removed. Move along to item number 16, we have removed. Move along to item 17, we've continued to August the 20th, 19, here in this room. Next up is item number 18, discussion of possible action. This is acknowledgement of the resignation of Jennifer Chapman as the Story County Recorder, an interim appointment of Marnie Martinez, a Story County Recorder, effective August the 6th, 2019. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I talked about during staff reports, Jen Chapman has moved over to my office as the administrative officer and is leaving a vacancy. We believe that with the departure of Jen Chapman, that Marnie Martinez, who works in the recorder's office now as the deputy recorder, would be a good fit to be an interim director to fill a period of time that will be, and hopefully I get this right, there's a couple different steps here. Based on the past practice of what we do, and similar to what we do with the Planning Commission, if this board were to appoint Marnie to be the interim director, she would serve for approximately 2 or 3 weeks while we post across the county letters of request, our request for letters of interest in serving as the Story County Recorder. For anybody in the public who's a qualified elector to be able to serve that position for the remainder of this year till the next election. That person and anybody else in the county, though, that's qualified, and then have to run for the position again, and then fill the next 2 years, which would be the end of the recorder's position, the office itself, and then that recorder's office would be now set back onto its proper placement. and the election cycle. That is what's being requested here, is just to put Ms. Martinez in until we get a posting out, and then this board then makes that determination to create a semi-permanent interim recorder for that period of time specified.
Okay. Thanks, Austin.
And approximately 2 weeks of time it would take for this. This would go in the newspaper, and then at that point, those folks that submit letters could come to this board, and this board would determine whether it wants to ask questions or anything further.
Okay. So was that clear to the other two commissioners?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. We can now open it up for public comment.
Chairman McBride, commissioners, Sam Toll from Gold Hill. I want to thank Jen Chapman for her service. Public folks here in Story County have been well served by her and her office. Unlike other entities within Story County, her office has been remarkably transparent with public records requests and other interactions that I've had with her office. I think that her replacement, who I've dealt with as well, I think is an excellent choice to head up the office, and hopefully she'll be the person who we appoint and then have an opportunity to elect once that opportunity comes available. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Ms. Chapman would like to speak to.
Okay. Any other public comment? Ms. Chapman?
For the record, Jen Chapman. And I know you have my letter in front of you, but I'd just like to read it into the record so that everybody who might not have printed out the agenda has it. It's just, I am resigning from my elected position of county recorder effective today. I'd like to extend a heartfelt thank you for all the support you've given to the recorder's office during my years in office. Because of your support, the support of the community, and a phenomenal staff, the recorder's office has been able to accomplish many things over the years, including imaging and conservation of important historical documents, complete software changes, and revisions of office policies and procedures to apply standards and best practices to the recording process. This has allowed us to streamline and improve the way services are provided to both internal and external partners. However, I seized an exciting opportunity that would allow me to apply my education and skills on a broader county level, working and still serving both Story County and the community. And while I may not be the recorder, I'll be here for any assistance, training, questions, or support, and the office is staffed by those same dedicated, familiar faces that have always graced the office. I have always supported and encouraged the talent present in the office and will continue to do so. I hope that this can also be an opportunity for those still remaining. Thank you again for your support, and I'm really looking forward to this next little chapter with the county.
Right. Thank you, Jen. I'd like to thank you for your years of service as a county recorder. You've done an exemplary job in there, and it's just really turned the place around and just make it a well-oiled machine. And I remember the day you knocked on my door to go ahead and announce your candidacy to run for the office, and there's that smile right there.
I hope to do the same.
Thank you for your service, and I know you'll do an excellent job working with Austin as well. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Additional public comment?
I don't think we could have had a better applicant to go ahead and step in to fill Jen's shoes than Marnie Martinez either. So I think this is a good choice. I'm not going to make the motion, but I'm going to recommend that one of my fellow commissioners makes a motion to appoint Marnie to go ahead and be the interim county recorder.
I'm in complete agreement. I'd be happy to make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll move to appoint Marnie Martinez as interim Story County Recorder. Final appointment to be made and a date to be determined.
The motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Congratulations, Marty. Terrific. See two proud parents sitting in the back row. Next up, we have item number 19, which we're going to continue to a date sometime in the future. And on to number 20 now. This is discussion of possible action. A special use permit request 2019-032 by Community Chest Incorporated. The applicant is requesting to operate a child care facility at the existing Surrey County Youth Community Resource Center exceeding four children. The facility will provide child care for both pre-age school children in addition to and before and after school programs and summer programs for school-age children. The facility is located on property owned by Story County, located at 175 East Carson Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 001-156-02. Ms. Canfield.
Good morning, everyone. This is a special use permit request for a child care facility at the Story County Youth and Community Resource Center. The property is zoned public, and the care of more than four children requires a special use permit. The child care at this site has evolved over the years, and this application addresses both what's been existing there and a proposed care of preschool-age children, which would be new to their options. The number of children at the facility will be based on the licensing that they do through the state, the sheriff's office licensing, and then also the occupancy of the building. Staff didn't receive any public comments in our noticing, and is recommending approval along with the Planning Commission voted 4-0 for approval. We had two absent, and we have one vacancy right now.
Okay, very good. Does anybody have any questions for Kathy on this item? Is there public comment regarding this item? I think that this is something that Virginia City and Story County has been lacking for a long time. I'm certainly glad that Community Chest is stepping up to go ahead and provide this service down there. I think we have to either have children go either to Reno or to Dayton if they need any child services. So this is going to be a real nice addition to the services already provided. And so I'm totally in favor of this. I'm going to ask Kathy to read the findings of fact for approval of this.
All right. This approval is for special use permit 2019-032 to operate a child care facility at the existing Story County Youth and Community Resource Center exceeding four children. The facility will provide child care for both preschool age children in addition to before and after school programs and summer programs for school age children. The facility is located on property owned by Story County, located at 175 East Carson Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 001-156-02. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, this title, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to the official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on the adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or any other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any other improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county.
The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Virginia City Comstock Area Plan, area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in Section 2C of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Section 17.03.150 Special Use Permit and Section 17.15P Public Zone.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. That can we get a motion to approve?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the County Commission, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve Special Use Permit 2019-032 to operate a child care facility at the existing Story County Youth and Community Resource Center exceeding 4 children. The facility will provide child care for both preschool-age children in addition to before and after school programs and summer programs for school-age children. The facility is located on the property owned by Story County, located at 175 East Carson Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and assessor's parcel number APN 001-156-02.
Very good. Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Good luck, Eric. Next up is item number 21, discussion of possible action. A zoning code text amendment, file 2019-031, to amend the language of chapter 17-40E estate zone and section 17.12.110H of Story County zoning ordinance to change the number of dogs allowed and the acreage size associated with the special use permit requirement. This zone text amendment would be applicable to all land within Story County zone estates. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you. This was a property owner initiated zone text change, and it relates to the estate zoning only. The applicant in their request wanted the language in the zoning code to be modified to allow for the keeping of more dogs and for less acreage requirements. Right now, you are allowed to have up to four dogs in the estate zoning. If you would want more than that, it's a special use requirement for five or more, but you also have a requirement to have 10 acres of land. The applicant would like to get rid of the 10 acres of land and be able to have more dogs, as I said. Staff was not supportive of this change. We felt that by removing the acreage requirement, that has the potential to have more dogs on smaller parcels, and then the parcels are closer together. There's the potential for more nuisance issues. We checked with the sheriff's office, and for 2018, the sheriff's office had 267 dog-related calls. So that's a little less than every other day they're getting a call about dogs. Also, by eliminating the acreage requirement, there's the potential for more special use permits. And I believe that puts staff in the position of recommending approval or denial based on dogs, which are individual beings. And how are we going to relate, like, if this dog is a good dog versus with a bad dog, you know, before the fact of them even being there. So staff believes this is really not the way to go. With this, we believe that at some point we'll come up with an animal ordinance in the closer to near future, not immediate future, but addressing some of these issues that we've been having with some of the nuisance calls and seeing if there's a way to address some of these to make alleviate some of the problems that we've had. We heard this at the Planning Commission last Thursday. The applicant didn't show up to the meeting to provide their input. The Planning Commission voted 4-0 to not approve this, and they sided with staff in recommending that we leave the ordinance as it is. We had two absent, and then one was, we had one vacancy there, so. I'm not sure if there was anybody here to speak about it. We didn't have anybody speak about it at the Planning Commission either, and we didn't receive any comments. This was noticed in the paper because this is a countywide potential change.
Commissioners, have any questions for Kathy?
No, none.
I was contacted by a Highlands resident concerned about this, saw the notice in the paper, brought it to my attention. I was concerned, thought it had to do with somebody in their neighborhood, but it wasn't. But in any event, do we know how long this verbiage has been in the...
The 1999 code allowed for three, then it went to seven, then it went to five, and now we're back at four. So it has changed somewhat. When I went back through the different meetings and trying to find when these things changed, the minutes are very, there's not a lot of discussion that was captured during those minutes. The adjacent counties, Washoe County, Lyon County, Carson, and Douglas all allow for a maximum of three dogs. So we are more generous than what those adjacent counties are dealing with or allowing.
Mr. Chairman, I can clarify one of those, too. I'm not going to step in. Kathy has handled this case very well. In fact, I think she handled it better than I would have based on our discussions. The reason it went to seven from three at that time is we had an animal ordinance cooking at that time. An ordinance kind of would be like you can have seven dogs, and then there was going to be a provision that anything over three would have some kind of an oversight to make sure there's not a nuisance type of problem happening. The zoning went through, everything got done, the animal ordinance never got finished or really moved on, so it was seven. And then we realized at that time that you could have seven dogs and seven pigs in a one-bedroom apartment the way it was structured, and probably not a good idea. So it got moved back down to what it is today at four. Kathy's right. We need to ultimately look at some type of an animal ordinance that mostly deals with dogs and certain nuisance matters, but really based on what this board has done in the past and what the Planning Commission has indicated, we don't want to create an overs arduous type of ordinance that some of our neighbors have on regulating every type of animal and every type of situation in people's lives. We just want to create some type of a mitigating factor for noise mostly and other safety hazards. So that would be ongoing from this point. Okay. Thank you, Kathy, for all the research you did on this.
Sure. Thanks. Can we open up for public comment? I'm comfortable with where it's at now myself. Sometimes one dog can be a nuisance. Yeah. In my neighborhood, one gets the other neighbor's dog to go in stereo with them, and sometimes the whole neighborhood goes into quadraphonic. So. Anyway, so the Planning Commission voted to deny this. The recommendation from staff is to deny it as well.
I'm agreeing with the staff.
Okay. You have a motion?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, and in accordance with the findings of fact under Section 5B of this report, and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, I, Lance Gilman, move to deny Zoning Code Text Amendment, File 2019-031, to amend the language of Chapter 17.40, E, Estate Zone, of the Story County Zone Ordinance, Zoning Ordinance, to allow for a change to the number of dogs and the acreage size associated with a special use permit requirement. This request also amends Section 17.12(100)(H), General Provisions, which identifies the acreage requirement. This zone text amendment would be applicable to all land within Story County zoned estates. The modifications are as follows. Blue underline is to be added, red italicized to be deleted.
Okay, thank you. Do we need to have her read the findings of fact on the motion for denial on this as well?
Yeah, we're going to need the motions to deny, or the findings to deny.
We have the motion is this denial is for a zoning code text amendment file 2019-031 to amend the language of Chapter 17.40 Estate E Estate Zone of the Story County Zoning Ordinance to allow for a change to the number of dogs and the acreage size associated with a special use permit requirement. This request also amends Section 17.12.100H general provisions, which identifies the acreage requirement. The language for the zoning code text amendment does not adequately mitigate potential adverse impacts on surrounding uses or protect against potential safety hazards for surrounding uses. And that's it. That's
all. All right, very good. So we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Next up was the item 22, is correspondence. This is the denial of agenda item made by Sam Toole. Number 23, discussion of possible action, approval of business license second readings. Any questions for the community development? None? Is there any public comment regarding the approval of this business license second readings? Hearing none, if we get a motion to approve those.
I'll move to approve.
A second.
Moved a second to approve all approval of the business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 24, public comment.
Chairman McBride, Commissioners, County Manager Osborne, Mr. Loomis, Sam Toll for the record, Gold Hill. Once again, expressing my disappointment that the request to have you all consider moving public record from the public comment, excuse me, from the end of the meeting to both the beginning and the end of the meeting. I think again, this reconfirms your desire to, to discourage public interaction, public commenting, and to, force folks to wait until the end of the meeting before they can talk about things that are not on the record. I'm hopeful that when Ms. Chapman begins to help Mr. Osborne with some of his tasks, that he might consider giving her the opportunity to be the county's public information officer. I think that it, most counties have a public information officer to handle public records requests. It would do a great deal to mitigate some of the unnecessary efforts or to clarify public records requests so that they have the least amount of impact on county resources as possible. I have asked Mr. Osborne for a 15-minute meeting since he took his position in an effort to create a atmosphere of cooperation in the access of the books which belong to the public and reducing the impact of those requests that I and others make. I'm asked to verify my sources when I do my investigative research and write my articles. I was accused of costing the county $100,000 in labor. The claim remains unsubstantiated, and I've asked for the other folks who request public records in an effort to try and figure out who the gadfly is who's costing the county all the money, and I can't find that person. So in closing, I think that that there's an opportunity, as I said before, with Mr. Osborne taking the reins from Pat, for a new beginning in transparency. I know, Austin, you've got a meeting tomorrow morning scheduled at the Roasting House, and you've done both meetings in the Highlands in Lockwood, and you've got one planned for Mark Twain. I'm very encouraged by your stance and your new position. So, with that, once again, I think that it's very disappointing that the commission has decided to not allow the constituents to come first.
Thank you. Additional public comment. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, well, once again, we see that the request to put public comment first. Today's a great example. Would have meant that the director of NDOT and her staff and other residents of the county who had business before this commission would have to sit here and wait while someone comes up here with the sole intent to try to smear the county leadership. All in front of them. And that, I believe that's what the intent is of moving public comment to the front, is so that the person can have the widest possible public audience. So I think it's good for the county to leave it at the end, take care of the constituents who have the residents of the county, including both individuals and businesses, who've coordinated ahead of time to get a matter on the agenda, who've submitted items for the packet for the public to see, as opposed to letting someone elbow them out of the way, elbow residents who've coordinated out of the way so they can come up here and parade a bunch of smears in front of this audience. And secondly, I found it kind of ironic that the person that was up here making snide remarks about companies that couldn't stand on their own has a background of 2 bankruptcy filings himself. And so I think when that person gets up here and tries to lecture the county commission about financial management or standing on your own, I think we need to take it with a grain of salt because 2 bankruptcy filings by that person in the past. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Additional public comment? Ms. Pard.
Cole Bard, Story County resident. As we saw in this meeting, and as we've seen in prior meetings, when we have companies or residents that have business that have a time limit to it, the agenda gets altered. Meaning, and I've seen it done when we've had Amadei in here because he had to get out quickly. We pushed back even the staff updates in order to have him do what he needed to do. And so to answer Mr. Thompson's concerns about somebody elbowing their way ahead of other people who put, you can alter the agenda if there are time needs of other companies. Meanwhile, other public county or public meeting agendas do have public comment at the front end. I think that Mr. Thompson's comment regarding people going up to public comment at the beginning are there to smear, I don't think so. There are people in Lockwood who, you know, would like to come. There are people in Mark Twain. There are regular citizens, of which Mr. Toll is one, who would like to make comments and then get out and go do their daily business. And then to comment on the bankruptcy, I think that many people in this county can relate to bankruptcy. I think many people in this country can relate to going through a bankruptcy. I think bankruptcy is what it is. It's a mistake. You recover from it. There are people in this room who don't pay their taxes, who don't pay their bills on time. That, I think, is a worse situation.
Thank you. Additional public comment. Okay. Hearing none, we're going to go ahead and adjourn this regular meeting, and then we're going to ask you to clear the room because we're going to go back into a closed session.